Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The Welsh Government has drawn up plans to introduce a tourist tax to try to boost funds for services in their visitor hotspots, and many cities across Europe have introduced similar measures to try and tackle over-tourism. But critics in the tourism and hospitality sector fear they can act as a deterrent and perhaps even lead to a decline in business. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by travel journalist and broadcaster Simon Calder and also Nick Squires, who's Rome correspondent with The Telegraph, and you're both very welcome. Simon, to start with you, the Welsh Government, what are they planning to do? What are they proposing?
Well, the absolute specific law is that they have introduced what's called a permissive power for local authorities to introduce a modest levy on visitors staying overnight. And the idea is, according to Mark Drakeford, Finance Secretary, visitors will make a small but fair contribution to the development and preservation of the characteristics which drew them to those areas as visitors in the first place. And what's it going to cost? Well, it's for a family of four, it's going to be £5 or €6 for a night. That is if you are staying in anything other than a tent. If you're camping, you get a 40% discount. And the earliest it could happen is April 2027.
And what are the businesses in the Welsh tourist industry saying about all of this?
Well, they're pretty cross, as you can imagine. Anything that puts up the cost of going on holiday to Wales is not to be welcomed. Although, as we will probably hear from Rome, such taxes are very common in continental Europe, but that doesn't necessarily make them a good idea. And it's also the extra complexity because they will be required to collect this relatively modest amount of tax and pass it on. And the last thing they need is more work.
All right. So it's more admin for them. But would they collect it in when the booking is being taken, or is it check-in or check-out? How will it work?
Well, it's really complicated and nobody exactly knows. And if you have a look at the example of Manchester, the city centre there, they've got a £1 per room per night levy to help with marketing Manchester. And it's a complete pain. Talking to staff at hotels, they say that lots of people are there on business. If you've got booked through a corporate travel agent, they haven't paid that £1. And so they have to persuade these important guests to line up just to pay them £1. And the line I got from one person on reception is people don't understand it. They don't know why they're being asked for more money, and they're just cheesed off when they leave the place.
Mm-hmm. But for the Welsh Government in this instance, they could raise £33 million a year from something like this. So that is significant. But I suppose the fear is, or the worry that the tourism business might have, is will that money go back into investment in tourism?
Well, the idea will be, according to the original plan, that it's going to help with everything from clearing away rubbish to beautifying the place. So that the Welsh Government say, well, it certainly is. But a big difference in the UK is that everyone staying in a hotel pays VAT of 20%. That's much more than most European countries. Even in Ireland, I know it went up a year ago for hotels, but it's still one third less than the UK. And a lot of people are going to say, well, actually, this just makes the UK even more of a high cost location.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're talking about doing it in Edinburgh as well, aren't they?
Yes. And Edinburgh City Council seems very, very keen on it. They say loads of other places around the world have visitor levies, including Amsterdam, Paris and Rome. It would raise money to be used for facilities mainly used by visitors. And there could be improvements to local culture and events and help also to promote the city. But as a tourist myself, and bear in mind, I spend my entire life on holiday pretending to work, I would get quite seized off with the idea of having to pay money so that a particular location can market itself to other people.
All right, Simon, I'm glad you admitted to that fact and that we didn't have to say it here. I'm going to talk to Nick in a moment about the impact of this in Italy, but elsewhere where we have these types of taxes, how have they worked?
Well, they're generally a bit of a muddle. Now, in Rome itself, I have been for fairly long stay in a not a bad hotel, suddenly having to find, I think, 100 euros, which they insisted had to be in cash to pay that. That was annoying. If I'm paying 100 euros for a hotel in Paris and I have to pay 2 euros in tax, that's just a nuisance. And yeah, there you are. You think you've booked it online. You think you've paid for it. They say, oh, no, you've got to pay us a couple of euro as well. But it gets completely out of hand in places like Las Vegas, where not only do none of the quoted rates include tax, but you also often have to put a resort fee. And that can add in total 50% to the cost. And that is definitely a deterrent.
Simon, thank you so much. Nick Squires, as I said, Rome correspondent with The Telegraph, is with us as well. In particular in Venice. I mean, we heard a lot about Venice, Nick, didn't we, earlier in the year when they introduced the tourism tax. Just explain to us how that works.
Yeah. So, as you say, Venice introduced that tourist tax earlier in the year in April, and it applied this year to 29 of the busiest days. And people had to book online and they had to pay online 5 euros. Now, Venice has announced relatively recently that they're doubling down on this. The council claims it's been a success. And for next year, the tax will apply for 54 days rather than 29, so that's nearly doubled. And they've also announced that if you don't book in time, I think it's 4 days prior to your arrival, if you don't do that, then you'll be charged 10 euros rather than 5 euros. So they've really doubled down on this. Now, critics have said, it hasn't really worked. It's brought in a lot of revenue for the city, but opposition councillors say the numbers show that there hasn't been a decrease in the number of day trippers, and that's what it's targeted at. And of course, people say, well, look, 5 euros isn't very much in the scheme of things. You pay more for that for a cappuccino in Piazza San Marco in St Mark's Square, so it doesn't really deter people.
Yeah, and that was the whole point of it, wasn't it, to reduce the number of day trippers coming into the city. But if it hasn't achieved those aims, I suppose you can see why they're going to increase it in the hope that it works.
Yes, and it's not just Venice. As you alluded to, I think, here in Rome, the Trevi Fountain at the moment is it's being cleaned. There's sort of maintenance underway and there's restricted access to that, and we think that that is a precursor to an entrance fee being charged for the very first time to actually see the Trevi Fountain. So they'll restrict access to that piazza, and you'll have to pay, we think, €1 or €2 to see the Trevi. That's also created a huge controversy here. It's not just Rome, Naples as well. Just today, there's a controversy down in Naples where there's been a proposal by some city councillors to charge a 5 euro fee to access a very atmospheric little narrow winding street in Naples, which is famous for craftsmen and women who make traditional nativity figures, traditional Christmas nativity figures. There's a proposal that a 5 euro entrance fee should be introduced for that.
And we heard Simon telling us that the tourism businesses don't really like these taxes, first and foremost because they're a logistical nightmare. How do the Italians feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Although I would say that there is this sort of, I mean, I've become quite used to it, actually, staying in hotels in Italy where you pay whatever it is, and then the receptionist says, oh, and there's the 2 euro city tax as well on top of it. And can you give that to us in cash, please? For me, it's become sort of second nature. But I understand that if you're coming here for the first time, it might feel a bit annoying. I mean, I think Italy in general is struggling to deal with what has been a huge surge in tourism post the COVID pandemic. And we've seen huge numbers of tourists this year.
Okay, Vera has been in touch to tell us that they were in Mallorca for 14 days and they were charged €72. Another listener, Eileen, was in Corfu for 2 weeks. They were charged €100 for the stay at the hotel on arrival. It's pretty substantial, isn't it, Nick? You know, when you add it up over a 2 week stay, it's a little bit of a kick added to the bottom line. The other story I wanted to talk to you about, Nick, that you've been writing about, this is people in Rome who have a big problem with short lets in the city, and we know that that's an issue here as well. But they're channeling Robin Hood now. What's been happening?
They are. They really are. Yeah, we're seeing a big sort of social movement, a big sort of revolt against short-term platforms like Airbnb. And just a couple of weeks ago in Rome, there was this sort of, I suppose you'd call it a guerrilla campaign by anonymous protesters. They sabotaged those little sort of black key boxes that people will be familiar with. Those are the key boxes that you have to find, and then you're given a code, and inside the key box is the key to the apartment that you've rented, wherever it might may be. Now, these were sabotaged in Rome, a few of them near the Circus Maximus, the old chariot racing arena in ancient Roman times, and a Robin Hood felt hat with a little feather, and it was left there with a sort of manifesto, really, of protest, saying that short-term lets like Airbnb are raising rents in cities like Rome and Florence and Venice, and forcing out ordinary families, and they're sort of emptying out and destroying the social fabric of these historic centres.
Mm-hmm. Because some landlords are shifting into the short-term let business, aren't they? From they might have long-term tenants and say, no, that's it now, we're going into the more lucrative business of holiday lets.
Definitely. And it's a huge phenomenon in Rome at the moment, because we're just about to go into the Jubilee, which is this special Vatican year of holy events. And city planners are talking about 25 to 30 million people coming to Rome for this. So a lot of Romans, a lot of owners of apartments have, you know, seen a sort of potential fast buck to be made. They're kicking out their long-term tenants, and they're opting to go for a short-term lets, which I think will be much more lucrative.
Nick, thank you very much. Nick Squires there, Rome correspondent with The Telegraph. And earlier we heard from Simon Calder.